One of the most respected theologians of our time. Some of you have read his book or seen his book called Knowing God. J.I. Packer says the following in his book, Keep in Step with the Spirit. Quote, "The Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from Him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all." Close quote. In other words, Christian life is supposed to be lived by the help provided by the Holy Spirit. Not only this is the proper way of pursuing a Christian life, but this is the only possible way for us to live a Christian life. So, in our passage this morning, in Galatians 5:16 25, Paul instructs the Galatian believers to walk by the Spirit in verse 16, which is just another way of saying live by the Spirit or live by depending on the help provided by the Spirit. So in the Bible, when the word walk is used in context like this one, it is used metaphorically as living. So we could talk about how is your walk in the Lord. What we mean is how's your life of faith in the Lord. So he says in verse 16, walk by the Spirit. Later on, he refers to this as living by the Spirit. So in verse 16b, he goes on to say that walking by the Spirit is how we will grow, not to gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. This is how we are sanctified. This is how we are transformed. This is how we fight our sin. This is how we properly live and grow as Christians, by walking by the Spirit. So this morning, I would like for us to meditate and consider what it means for us to live by the Spirit. And there are five things I would like to point out in terms of what and how are we supposed to live by the Spirit. First, living by the Spirit means that we are to be led by the Spirit. In verse 18, Paul mentions that we ought to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit is very much so present and active in the life of every single genuine Christian. Jesus says He will not leave us as orphans. A lot of us may feel very overwhelmed at the prospect of following Jesus and living a Christian life. And Jesus knows that we are not able to do this on our own. We don't know what to do often. We don't have the strength to do it, even if we know what to do. So many times we feel very helpless. And Jesus says He's not going to leave us like that. He's not going to leave us as orphans, but He is going to send us another helper, as Jesus helped His disciples to learn and grow as a disciple of Christ. He is going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us forever and to be present and active in our lives. And whether we feel His presence, whether we notice His work or not, regardless of whether we feel His presence, we notice His work, that's besides the point. Jesus' promise and the reality that Bible teaches us is that He is present and He is active in the lives of His people. In fact, if He wasn't present and actively working in our lives, none of us would be here right now as genuine followers of Christ. We have faith. We have desire to know and love God. We have desire to grow in our faith and obedience and righteousness. We want to please God. All these things because the Spirit has graciously and powerfully already worked in our hearts. This is why we believe, and this is why we see the truth, and we have heart for God and desire to follow Christ. And the Spirit not only initiates and starts all these things in our lives, He also leads us every day, even right now, whether we recognize this or not. To what does He lead us? First and foremost, He leads us to the Word of God, the truth of God given in the book we call the Bible. The Spirit, He leads and directs our attention to God and His Word. In John 15:26, Jesus says, quote, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me." The primary ministry of the Spirit is not to do His own work. What He does when He comes is that He bears witness about Jesus. He leads God's people not to His work and His particular unique things, but Spirit leads God's people to Jesus and His Word and His teaching, who's leading us to the Father. So one of the clear work of leading of the Spirit in the lives of God's people, God's children, is that Spirit leads us to listen to the Word of God, to learn, to pay attention to the Word of God. One of the sure evidence or signs that the Spirit is present and working in our lives is the newly found desire for the Word of God. Whether in the form of sermons or in the Bible itself or through Christian books, often new genuine Christians find themselves with these new desires, new interests. And this is a leading that the Spirit is providing for His people. How does He do that? How does he lead us? He opens our eyes and our hearts to the truth of God, particularly to His Word, the Bible. We often hear testimonies where people were not interested at all in the Bible or sermons or any Christian truth, but one day they find themselves something different. There is this new desire, new interest, new attraction to the Word of God. So that Spirit, He leads us by giving us this capacity, new ability to see and appreciate the truth of God. So which relates to this Spirit's leading by giving us new desires and new interests and new love for the Word of God and the truth of God. And He causes us to see the need and the importance of it. Many of us, even though we are struggling on a day-to-day basis in terms of actually going and reading consistently the Word of God, many of us, we know that reading the Word of God and giving ourselves to the study of the Word of God is important and is necessary. We know this. How do we know? Is it just because someone told you? No. Not only someone told you, but the Spirit leads us by testifying that in our hearts, so that when someone says, we have to go to the Word, we have to seek God by turning to the Word, that resonates, that truth resonates with our heart. Why? Because that's how the Spirit is leading us. He also leads us by giving us what some people might call promptings in our heart. Sometimes when we have been not very faithful in the reading of His Word, paying attention to the Lord, there are these moments, there are these what I call promptings, where we feel sort of sense of anxiety or this sense that something is not right, right? And I believe this could be one of the ways that Spirit is leading us, often very gently, but He gives us this sense, this understanding, this insight. Whereas when we do what is good and what is, we follow the way that Spirit is leading, we get this affirmation. That's right. This is safe and this is good. This is the right way. So in a very gentle ways, that Spirit gives us affirmations as well as subtle signs that things are not okay, things are not good. So these are the ways that the Spirit leads His people, particularly to the truth of God, to the Word of God. And He intends us to respond. You see, He works in our hearts so that when He does give gentle promptings and gentle leading, that He designs so that He has designed so that we would respond to His leading and follow His leading. Let me give us one application here. So that what we may feel as one of the very mundane or one of the very basic, as in very common things that we could do, through the leading of the Spirit, going to the Word of God and giving sufficient time each day, and or maybe not daily, and hopefully daily, but regularly, we go to the Word of God and spending time, taking the time to carefully read and reflect and consider the truth of God, is one of the most important things that we could do in our Christian life. That's how Spirit helps us. That's how Spirit enables us to not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because it is not strength, it is not our willpower that could resist the desires of our sinful nature. But it says when the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit is opposite of the things of desires of the flesh, so that when we give ourselves and when we train ourselves, train our mind and renew our mind with the Word of God, then that's what enables us to resist this desire to gratify the desires of the flesh. So that often I recommend people, the most critical thing in our what we call spiritual battle or in terms of our growth is our daily time that we give to the Word of God, focus and seeking the Lord, seeking God, following the leading of the Spirit. There's nothing that will replace this daily giving of the time. You know, you could take all, you know, people say, you could take all the vitamins and all the, you know, interesting things, supplements, right? But nothing will replace good, regular diet. The nutrients and all the vitamins that comes from food, nothing will replace that. Just like that, you know, you may think that, oh, if I go to this conference or this retreat or have this kind of experience, then I'll be spiritually healthy and powerful. You know, maybe those things may be helpful, but the most important thing about our spiritual life is this daily going to the Word, daily going to God. And so what I suggest is that give sufficient time. You know, often if we feel rushed or if we don't give sufficient time, we are really cheating ourselves and growing and meeting and being fed by the Lord. So through in our daily regular time, what I recommend is that give sufficient time. It's the most investment that we will make in our lifetime. So give sufficient time. And the other thing is that give the best time, right? The problem with some of us is that we face during devotional time is that we do all other things, more things that we feel is urgent, often has to do with school or you know, our leisure activities, and then at late at night when we're tired and we have all these thoughts going through our head, we try to, okay, I got to do my quiet time, right? Then often it doesn't turn out that helpful because it's not the best time. I tell people, when are you most alert? When are you most with it? Give God the best time of the day. Often, probably not super early unless you're a morning person, right? Like mid-morning, right? Give the best time. In order to do that, you have to make the priority. Your devotional time, the priority, right? You have to write it in your schedule. And when someone says, hey, can you do this at this time? And you look at your schedule, sorry, no, I have an appointment, right? You have to block that time out. Obviously, you don't want to be too rigid or legalistic, but point is that we have to protect and we have to make this most important investment as the Spirit leads us. What can we do? How can we grow? One of the most obvious answers is give regular time. Spend this time with the Lord, reading, reflecting, meditating, and praying. And thinking about your life in light of the biblical truth. And that's what Spirit does. He leads us to God through His Word. So that's the first thing. Spirit leads us. So let us be led by the Spirit. That's how we live by the Spirit. Second thing. This actually comes from parallel passage in Romans 8, 5 through 7. In Romans chapter 8, Paul also talks about what it means to walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit. And here he says, he adds one thing that's not found in Galatians, and I thought it's really helpful. What he said, and it's related to what we just said, giving ourselves to being led by the Spirit to the Word of God. What he says is that set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's read Romans 8, 5 through 7. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So what Paul is saying is that one of the natural consequences of being led by the Spirit to the Word of God and spending time in the Word of God is that as you do that increasingly, one of the things that happens is you get to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. It's not just that an hour or however you spend time, but as you give to yourself to the Word regularly, your mind starts to be set on the things of the Spirit. It's not just that hour or our 2 hours that you think about God. That helps you to think about the rest of your life in light of the biblical truth, so that just like when you're really into something, you're constantly thinking about the thing that you're really into it. You know, I know people who, I mean, personally, I'm not really into golf, but I hear about these people, they get really into the game of golf so that all day long as they're working, you know, every free moment, they're thinking about their game, right? Did I do this right? You know, do I have the right equipment? Do this right? So if something captures your heart, your interest, your passion, and then it's not just the time that you devote yourself to that time, but your mind gets set on the thing that really, it captures your mind so that constantly you're thinking about that. And that's what happens when God and His truth starts to capture our mind. We start to think about the things of the Spirit. And that's the goal. That's what we're aiming for. We don't want to. So the problem is that we will not grow in meaningful ways. We will not be transformed if our minds do not be set on the things of the Spirit. So one of the important goals of spending time regularly in the Word of God is that as the Spirit helps us and as He starts to work in our lives, that our minds get filled with the things of the Spirit and we're constantly thinking about it, right? So often what I tell people that I meet with one-on-one is that, what I notice is that if you're constantly thinking about your walk with the Lord and how you want to please and how you're fighting with sins and how you want to, how what Spirit is doing, then they're constantly thinking about it. They're wrestling with different things, right? Then they have a lot of questions and lot of things to share in our one-on-one meetings, right? But I know that some guys, when they meet with me, they have nothing to say. It's like every week they tell me the same thing. Oh, I studied, you know, play basketball, right? Why? Because apart from these very narrow period of times where they either study the Bible or they come to service, they're not thinking. They're thinking about other things. So that it's not really affecting their heart and their mind, so that there's nothing there. And it's really hard to grow, right? So we want to grow to the point where our mind is naturally being set on the things of the Spirit. And what Paul says here, this is so important, because regardless of your religious activities, if your minds are on the things of the flesh, it says to set, verse 6, for to set on the mind on the flesh is death, right? You cannot help yourself sinning No matter how hard you may try, if your mind is set on the things of the flesh, and it will lead to death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. See, God does not save apart from these God-appointed means. God saves us by setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. So that's how Spirit, the second way that we can live by the Spirit is growing to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. See, I believe this is the main business of a believer. If someone asks me, what's the main thing I should focus on in my Christian, in my life? I would say, not service, not evangelism, but give yourself to the Word of God so that you will set your mind on the things of God and the things of the Spirit. I would say that's your number one priority in terms of nitty-gritties of how we grow, right? That's the number one business. Why? Because if your mind is set on the things of God, serving the people of God becomes very natural. You don't have to force yourself. If God has your mind and God has your heart, serving the Lord is just matter. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. Evangelism, again, if God has your mind, He has your heart, and you're constantly engaging in the things of the Spirit, evangelism is very natural and much easier. You don't have to force yourself as much. So I would say your mind, giving your mind and reshaping your mind according to the Word of God is the main business as a growing Christian. And there are two particular areas that we see the changes when we are setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. And these things come about as through our what we call meditation, or you could just say you consider, you think deeply about certain things. That's called meditation. You're not just trying to gain information, but you really want to learn. You know the difference between, you know, you go to a class and you just want to pass the course, right? So you just memorize necessary information and learn to regurgitate. I know how that works. I went through a school too, right? But we know that's not really learning, right? But when we go to the Word, God's not going to give you a quiz, right? He wants you to really learn and digest. Right? Learn to think, be thoughtful, take your time, go deep, and really consider, reflect how you live your life in light of these biblical truths. So when we meditate like this, two things change. One is the worldview, right? All of us, as I often say, we come with a particular worldview that has been shaped by the world or this our culture. Where we think it's all about success or money or having fun or however you may want to, you have defined it according, depending on your background. But that's going to change. Bible will teach us, no, the life is really about God and in coming to know and enjoy God. Other things are not as important. So that as your worldview changes, the other thing that will change is your value system. What's really important? What really matters in life? So this is often how we know how much we have changed. During your quiet times, you got to ask yourself, honestly, right now, what is my passion? What is the treasure? What do I really look forward to in life? What gives me real hope for the future? If I could have just one thing, what would that be? What makes me excited and passionate? What do I really think that will make me truly happy? See, the honest answer to those questions will tell you, I don't care how long you've been in church and attending church, right? The answer to those questions will reflect where you really are in terms of your sanctification and your transformation. To the degree the answer to those questions are not God or the things of God, then you are still being influenced by what Paul calls the desires of the flesh or things of the flesh. Galatians 5:24, one of the verses in our passage, Paul says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's still one of the things that mark the genuine Christians, one of the characteristics of Christians, right? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires, meaning we have consciously died to these things. It's not a literal crucifixion. We thought about it, we considered it, and we said, you know what? I'm not going to pursue this. I reject these things, right? The things of this world and its fleshly passions and desires, I thought about it in light of what Christ, God is offering me in Christ, and I reject these things. And we have to come to that point in our growth. So set the way we walk by the Spirit is when we are learning to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. The third thing, how do we walk by the Spirit? We submit to the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit when we submit to the Spirit. Because not just these gentle leadings and promptings, right? Sometimes when necessary, Spirit gives us stronger, what we may call convictions, or rebukes, right? Spirit often gives us what we call conviction of sin. If you're committing certain sins, Spirit, because He's present, because He's active, and because He loves us, He convicts us of certain sins and say, you gotta stop. This is not okay. This will hurt you. This will kill you, right? And when we experience and notice those convictions, we are called to submit to the Spirit and not quench the Spirit, not reject the work of the Spirit, not reject the conviction of sin of the Spirit. Verse 21b, Paul says in Galatians 5, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such a thing, the work of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? And because if you walk certain ways of the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, and Spirit wants to save you, so He convicts you of your sins. You know, one of the most important things we need to do well as we grow as Christian is we need to learn how to take rebukes well. You know, there are people who are so bad at taking rebukes, even though that these rebukes or warnings or convictions are coming from a place of love. And the purpose is that Spirit and the Word of God, the truth of God, through the truth of God, He wants to save us. He wants to do good to us, right? But if our ego is so fragile or we are so proud, we hate anything that does not stroke our ego. We reject it. We hate it. As soon as someone seems to be saying anything negative about us, we say, stop right there. I don't want to hear it. Or say, that's not for me. If you do that, you are doing great harm to yourself. One of the marks of true biblical wisdom is that you embrace, you actually delight in godly, helpful rebuke, because that will save you. When, you know, if you're walking towards the wrong way and you're going to fall off a cliff and someone says, stop, you know, move away from there, right? You should thank the person who warned you and who because he has just saved your life, right? You should, if you're wise, you should love godly rebukes, right? And that's one of the very important ways that we walk by the Spirit. Verse 25 of Galatians 5, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This expression, keep in step with the Spirit, carries this thought of walking in line or holding to a rule. Packer says, and thus proceeding under another's control or rule. That is, Paul is saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us submit to the leading of the Spirit. So, there are times when Spirit, and often we know this, right? But we try to push it out of our mind because it's unpleasant or we don't want to obey, right? But we need to submit to convictions of sin, Spirit's leading to repentance, leading us to God, leading to doing what is right and pleasing to the Lord. So that's the third thing we need to do when we are walking by the Spirit or living by the Spirit. The fourth thing, living by the Spirit means, it also means that we are helped by the Spirit. Spirit not only leads us to the Word of God, not only He rebukes us and convicts us, but He also comforts us and encourages us. He gives us help. He gives us wisdom and insight and understanding. And so this is probably the most popular thing about the ministry of the Spirit from human perspective, right? So when we walk into a time of praise and we experience great comfort and encouragement, and we experience joy and delight, that's the help of the Spirit. You're reading the Bible and all of a sudden, you get this very helpful insight or understanding. A verse pops out at you and it speaks to you and it moves you or encourages you. That is the work of the Spirit helping you. You get a rush of desire to do what is good and right and love your brothers and sisters and turn from sin. That is the help of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, our passage, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, out of these, there are two that is most likely help of the Spirit I'm talking about. Joy and peace is not something that we do, but something that we experience because of the Spirit's work in our lives, right? He gives us joy. Sometimes through the truth as we meditate, but sometimes immediately, directly. Sometimes as we put our lives in order, we experience peace, but sometimes Spirit gives us immediate sense of peace. You're okay. You will be fine. I will take care of you, right? So one of the way we walk by the Spirit or live by the Spirit is that we are helped by the Spirit. Now, one important thing about this is that most of us, we don't have problem experiencing or enjoying these help of the Spirit when Spirit gives us joy or peace or encouragement or comfort, right? But here's the thing. Not of us, we have great difficulties when we stop experiencing these helps of the Spirit. So, you know, there's a season where you're experiencing tremendous joy and close presence and comfort of the Spirit, and you're doing fine. You're doing great, or you feel great, and all of a sudden you hit a patch or a period when that's gone. You're not experiencing that. That's when a lot of Christians we struggle, right? And then we say things like, "What happened? Did I do something wrong? Did Spirit get angry at me and he left me, or is did God stop loving me?" And all those things. Important thing to remember is that withholding of these helps and comforts and joy and delight and all these things, his manifest presence, is part of Spirit loving us. See, he gives us not what we want, he gives us what we need, what is actually good for us. And in order for our faith to grow, sometimes he withdraws things intentionally so that we will grow in our faith, so that we don't become these spiritual babies where we constantly have to see and hold, you know, little, when you're a toddler, 2-year-old toddler, you're holding mommy's hand and you're looking at her and you're happy, but as soon as your mommy goes into the next room, you have separation anxiety, you're crying. And that's kind of cute when you're 2 years old. But think of like a, you know, 20-year-old, you have to have your mom. I have to call my mom every day or else I get it, you know? That person hasn't grown up. So that what God wants us to do, I believe, is that he wants us to know the truth so well, even if we don't see or feel the presence of God. We know the truth. We know God is committed to us in Christ. We know things are going to be okay because God is faithful to his promises. That we're not like these 2-year-old toddlers where we constantly need to be affirmed, constantly need to be stroked. No. He wants us to grow up. So there are times when Spirit withdraws his presence and his joy and his help for our own good. I mean, obviously it's still there. Obviously it's working, but we just don't feel that, or we don't have very pleasant feelings right there and then. But don't ever doubt. Read the Word. Know the faithfulness of God and the work of the Spirit. That is part of his love for us. Grow. You could grow tremendously during the time of what we feel like, quote-unquote, dry season or wilderness experience. That's when we are tested. That's when we grow. That's when we become stronger. So please keep that in mind. Last thing I want to say is that walking in the Spirit or living by the Spirit is we grow in the producing of the fruit of the Spirit. We spend time with God in the Word, as we experience God's comfort and his help, as we learn to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, what happens is that we are able to start obeying or producing these fruit of the Spirit. Love, which means you do good to others, even if it costs you. Patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. You start to exercise these things. And these things need to be exercised. We need to train. We need to make effort and grow incrementally. Sometimes through trial and error, right? So we live by the Spirit as we grow by producing being trained in producing the fruit of the Spirit. The last thing I want to say as we close is that in producing of the Spirit, we need to be patient. Or put it another way, don't be impatient. Often, it is our pride or our lack of understanding that gives us unrealistic deadlines and goals, right? I have to be this kind of person by this time, right? You see, one of the things that we need to remember as we are being led by the Spirit is that we don't set the timeline. We're not in control. Spirit is the one who is leading us, and He sets when you will change and when things will happen and when you will grow to this maturity, right? So you got to trust Him and identify the unrealistic, even subconscious expectations that you have for yourself and relinquish them, let them go and say, you know what? I can't do this. I'm not in charge. I got to trust the Holy Spirit. And when you don't meet your own expectation, don't beat yourself up. And don't be unduly discouraged. Right? And if you have question, do I really have some serious problem so that I'm not growing fast enough as I see it? Or is this part of the Spirit? If you're not sure, if you're confused, please come and talk to me. Right? I'll try to help you figure out. But don't just assume that it is you and beat yourself up. That is not helpful for your spiritual growth. More often than not, you just have to learn to trust the Spirit's timing and be patient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Even now, let's ask the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to help us. That in whatever areas you feel like you need help in terms of following and being led by the Spirit and to live by the Spirit, let's ask Him for help even now. And let's pay attention and let's look to Him to help us. Let's pray.